We didn't get the fade, so like I said, all of you out there in DVD land, when we do these live recordings of Sabbath services, you get what you get. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, we'd rather have that than a CD. So you got it with all of its bumps and so forth. Now, just want to cover something in relationship to the discussion we had concerning communion and Lord's Supper and things like that. Come over here to 1 Corinthians 10 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. Because, see, there is still the ongoing infiltration of the Roman Catholic Church everywhere they can go. That's why, as we were discussing about church at home, they can't infiltrate every home, can they? See? So church at home is going to be a very important way for people to worship God and find out about the truth. Now, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry. Now, we'll just fill in some of the problems with the churches of God that have come along here as we're going, and before we get back to the priesthood of Christ, the order of Melchizedek. Now, verse 15, I speak as to those who are wise. You judge what I say. Now, notice how he put it. He put it out here in such a way that you have to have wisdom to know and understand what needs to be and what the truth is. That's why we're to grow up in Christ. That's why with the New Testament, New Covenant, rather, since it is for eternal life, the Word of God and His Spirit with the Word of God gives us multiple layers of understanding continually. As I've mentioned before, it's like a sphere. And you have, if you intersect a sphere, you can intersect it with an infinite number of lines going through it. And you grow in knowledge with every one of the cross sections that happen with that sphere. And isn't it interesting? That's the way the mind is programmed too, isn't it? Though it's not a sphere. All right? Notice what he says here. Verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Now, the Latinists who were on the translating committees could not resist, and they put in their communion. But it's fellowship. The bread that we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one body and one bread, because we're all partakers of the bread. Consider Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who ate the sacrifices partakers of the altar? So then he says, what am I saying? That an idol is anything, or that which is sacrificed to an idol is anything? No, it's nothing. But that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. So there's the line to be drawn. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, this is a tool that is used by Satan's false apostles and infiltrators into the churches of God and other Christian organizations. Now let's come to Revelation, the second chapter. And let's see what happened to the church at Pergamos that brought in satanic doctrines. Now, Pergamos and Thyatira are very seriously corrected for what they did in bringing in the wrong understanding concerning the New Covenant Passover. They adopted the rites of Mithras, because the rites of Mithras had bread and wine. And that comes straight out of Egypt with the round wafer that has IHS on it, or HIS, whichever it is. And that stands for Semiramis, Horus, or Isis, Horus, and who was the other one? Isis, Horus, and Osiris. That's it. Okay? That has nothing to do. And besides, when they take that wafer, it's not broken. If it's broken, the priest won't give it. So you see how the opposites come out when these doctrines of demons get fully entrenched into, we would say, Christian churches. All right, let's come here to verse 12, Revelation 2. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. Remember we read that earlier? And what is that sharp two-edged sword? The word of God. And what does that do to us? That judges us because we are under the judgment of God now. I know your works where you dwell, where the throne of Satan is, but you are holding fast my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas, my faithful witness, was killed among you where Satan dwells. So what happens when you're in the middle of the world? When you look at all of these good pagans, well, they're nice, sincere people. You know, God must be with them as well. Not so. There is a goodness that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The goodness that comes from God is from his word. Okay? Now notice what happened. But I have a few things against you because you have those who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. And that's what the children of Moab did, didn't they? They had a big religious feast out there. Balaam couldn't curse them, so he said, now look, what you do, you have a big get-together out here and invite them over. See, did they like meat? Oh, after eating all that manna, gotta have some meat. So what happened? Well, you can read the account there in the book of Numbers. To eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. All right? What is spiritual fornication? Having another god, having other doctrines, having doctrines of demons, doing the ways of the world and their religions. Moreover, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, and that is an overbearing hierarchy. Repent, for if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Now you see, the same judgment that God brought upon Israel for leaving him and doing the things that they did, he sent the armies of Nebuchadnezzar after him, right? Yes. Well, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. All right, we have the same thing here. If we don't hold true to the word of God, he's going to make war with us. Now, how is he going to make war with us? In our individual lives, number one, many trials and difficulties that come along and we fail them by going further and further into the world rather than drawing closer and closer to God. Number two, he will send the enemy to infiltrate. And the reason the enemy will be able to infiltrate is because the ministry and the people are not close enough to God. So God is going to take it down. He gives lots of chances, lots of mercy, lots of grace. But then there is a crossover point, which Paul wrote about, that you cannot eat at the table of demons, and you cannot partake of their way, which those rituals of Mithras were. And that is what the Catholic Mass is today. The Lord's Supper is today. And they don't do it. You see, they cannot do it on the Passover day because they will reject that. And that's the first thing that was rejected. If you look up in history concerning the Quarto Decimum controversy, which we talk about at the beginning of the Christian Passover book, They do not do it on the Passover day because they are eating of the table of demons and not the table of the Lord. And the truth is, you must renew the new covenant every year, which is of the ministry of the high priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. And it must be done on the Passover day. Anything else is not correct. So we come full circle. One of the best ways to always keep on track with what is right is this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing came into being that he did not create. Okay? Jesus said for the Passover night, remember what he told the disciples? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. And he said that on the Passover night. See? All right, let's come back here to the book of Hebrews again. And let's come to chapter 9. He shows the comparison of the earthly sanctuary and tabernacle and all the utensils and the sacrifices and things that were there. Okay? Let's just touch on a couple of verses here. Verse 11. But Christ himself has become high priest of the coming good things through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by human hands, that is, not of this present physical creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood. He entered once for all into the holiest, having by himself secured everlasting redemption for us. So when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, means there's no other way of doing it. And a lot of good ideas that come along do not conform to the Word of God. Now, there was someone who wrote me and says, well, not only do we wash the feet of the saints, but we kiss them. Now, that seems innocent enough, okay? But you're adding to it, right? Did Jesus say, kiss one another's feet? No, you need to be careful. You might get athlete's foot or the lips. Okay? Now, here's a key thing to understand concerning the physical sacrifices that God gave to Israel. And for the priest to perform, where it says, and their sins are forgiven if they do this. But to what were those sins forgiven? In heaven above or to the temple? See? Let's read. Verse 13, Hebrews 9. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who are defiled sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, not the spirit. See, we're to have a purifying of the spirit with God's spirit united with the spirit of man that we have. But notice what it is to do, verse 14. To a far greater degree, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's why I gave those sermons on the washing of the water of the Word. See? And it also works this way, to purify your conscience. The Holy Spirit in you will cause you to understand when sin begins with thought. And the Holy Spirit can also, through the washing of the water of the Word, remove the trauma and the emotional experience that you go through from some of the sins that you have experienced. Some very serious sins. But that takes bringing every thought into captivity to Christ for the washing of the water of the Word. So when you go along and all of a sudden you realize that what you're thinking is sin. That's because God is exposing it to you through your conscience. See? For this reason, now notice again, verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant in order that through his death, which took place for the release of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant. Now, isn't that interesting? For the release. They were forgiven to the temple, and now they are released. No eternal life was offered under the old covenant except to certain of the kings and prophets. See? So the sins of the people are now released. It was only to the physical temple. Now they're just going to be on their own, and God is going to reach down and call those that he's going to call. And the call goes out to many. Few answer. Few are baptized. They receive the Holy Spirit. And that's where we are with the new covenant. Okay? For the release of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant. So what we see here is this. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ accomplished many things. Took care of all of those things under the first covenant. Now notice, those who have been called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And that inheritance includes a part in New Jerusalem. Then we've covered verse 16 and 17 about bringing forth the covenant sacrifice. Christ's covenant sacrifice was his sacrifice. Our covenant sacrifice is baptism. Okay, now, let's come down here to verse 24. Verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made by human hands, which are mere copies of the true. Rather, he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And that is the work of the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. That's why Melchizedek was called priest of the Most High God. All right, verse 25. Not that he should offer himself many times, even as the high priest enters into the Holy of Holies year by year with the blood of others. For then it would have been necessary for him to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now once, for all, he has been manifested for the purpose of removing sin through the sacrifice of himself, because he was the creator of mankind. And in his judgment, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, he gave us human nature. So in giving that judgment, and being creator, he alone can remove that judgment against us. Removing of sin through the sacrifice of himself. And as much as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to those who are eagerly awaiting him. And so everything is based upon the return of Jesus Christ. Today, virtually, how can I put it? Very few really believe in the return of Jesus Christ the way the Bible tells us. Now let's understand something very important here concerning what we're talking about. After God deals with us and calls us and we answer the call, okay? Now then, we grow in grace and knowledge and understanding as led by the Holy Spirit of God, okay? But you must have the proper application of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to you through the operation of baptism, which is your covenant sacrifice to be conjoined to the sacrifice of Christ. It cannot happen any other way. Okay? Now, this becomes the paramount important thing, because you must first have your sins forgiven before you can learn how to live to put sin out of your life. That's why unleavened bread comes right after the Passover. Then there are 7 weeks to the harvest. God's harvest continues, and every year. Is it not true? The world is likened to a field. Christ was the wave sheaf offering, the first of the first fruits, right? Okay. The harvest continues from day one to the return of Christ, and that's pictured by the 50 days leading to Pentecost. And so you really cannot begin to have a relationship with God until first you have your sins forgiven, then you receive the Spirit of God, then you walk in the way of God, growing and changing and overcoming, you see? And that's pictured by unleavened bread and the counting of the 7 weeks. And how many churches are there in Revelation 2 and 3? Seven. Now, when we get toward Pentecost, I'll be speaking on that. And then, what is the harvest on the 50th day? Okay? That's the completion of the first fruits harvest. Then we go clear down to trumpets. Now we're talking about the literal return of Christ and the saints, the setting up of the kingdom of God on earth, the binding of Satan the devil, the beginning of the 1,000-year rule of Christ, and then we have the last great day. We have the destruction of the wicked. We have the coming of new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem. And you see, all of that is a progression. But first it begins with the Passover. Okay? Now let's come down here to chapter 10. Chapter 10 talks about the law, only a shadow of good things to come. Verse 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why there's going to be a third temple. Because the only way the Jews are going to learn that is to build a third temple, start the sacrifices again, and then have the beast come in and stop the sacrifices. See? That's why God is going to deal with the Jews by raising up the high priest, whoever he will be at the temple, and the governor of Judea to be the two witnesses. Then they will have learned that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins, and they believe that if they can get the sacrifices going again, then that will take away their sins. Not so. Through the two witnesses, they will finally recognize Christ. Verse 5, for this reason, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have prepared a body for me. You did not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. What did God delight in? Obey my voice. That's what he said there in Jeremiah 7. They took the sacrifices that they should have offered to God. They set up all the false gods right in the middle of the temple area, and they were offering sacrifices to these false gods. So God said, look, when you came out of Egypt, I didn't speak to you concerning sacrifices, but obey my voice. See, that's what God wants. Verse 7. Now, I put on the CD we sent out for Passover and unleavened bread, I put the a covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so be sure and go over that, because this is part of it here. Then said I, lo, I come, as it's written of me in the scroll of the book, and you can't find that book. This quote goes back to, yes, it goes back to Psalm, I think it is 42. Yes, Psalm 42. And it's just a quote. All right, verse 8. In the saying above, he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, which are offered according to the law, you did not desire nor delight in. Now, how could he delight in those when something greater is available? The Holy Spirit and loving God. Isn't it greater for people to love God with his Holy Spirit and God to love them and lead and guide them? Isn't that greater than all the animal sacrifices you could possibly think of? Yes, indeed. Verse 9, then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. And isn't that what Jesus said? See, now here's the lesson of Job. Jesus said, I of my own self can do nothing. Now that was not Job's attitude. See, all righteousness must come from God, his way, his spirit, his truth, not with our own ways, not with our own ideas, and certainly, as we have seen, not with any pagan additions to it, though those seem nice and fancy and wonderful. What I was saying, okay, let's go here. I guess I did. I guess I got it all on there. Oh, I did.
Yeah.
There we go. Got it. Again, a little glitch. You're going to have to live with it. Okay. Now notice, verse 9. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant in order that he may establish the second covenant, by whose will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then that's compared to the high priest who keeps making the same sacrifices every day. And when you get down to it, offering those same sacrifices every day was really like working in a glorified meat market. If you look at it that way, you see. Offering the same thing. Verse 12. But he, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Okay, let's go. Since that time, he is waiting until his enemies are placed as a footstool under his feet. Still coming. Still coming. For by one offering, he has obtained eternal perfection for those who are sanctified. And that is, the perfection is not instantaneous and everything is done, but the perfection comes as you grow and change and overcome. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and will inscribe them in their minds, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. Now, isn't it interesting? What is missing in this quote compared to chapter 8? The house of Israel and the house of Judah, so this applies to all. This applies to all Gentiles as well. Now, where remission of these is, it is no longer necessary to offer sacrifices for sin, that is, the animal sacrifices. Therefore, brethren, now this is what it is to do for us, see? Here's the conclusion. We start at chapter 2, and we go all the way through to this point, and here is the conclusion of it, and the basic substance of the Christian Passover and our relationship with God. Therefore, brethren, having confidence to enter into the true holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach God with a true heart. See, this is what it is to result in, a true heart. With full conviction of faith, having our hearts having been purified from a wicked conscience and our bodies having been washed with pure water, let us hold fast without wavering the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Okay, now that sums up exactly the whole meaning of the new covenant Passover. Which then we know, foot washing first, then the breaking of the bread, and the eating of the bread, then the drinking of the wine, and the reading of the words of the new covenant. That's why we send out to everyone the Christian Passover ceremony booklet that has what to do, how to do it, who should do it, when to do it, and also it has all the words of the new covenant, and the majority of them are found in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, which then starts out, you believe in God, believe also in me, and ends up with that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. See? The whole plan of God, everything you will experience as a Christian is listed out there in John 14, 15, and 16. And the main point of it is the love of God, the love of Christ, our love for each other, Christ's love for us, our love of the Father's love for us, the power of the Holy Spirit given to us. All of that is contained right there in the New Covenant Passover ceremony. So I hope that what we've been going through here helps us have a greater understanding of why we take the Passover, the meaning of the Passover, which will be, by the way, tomorrow night. And I know after the last great day at the Feast of Tabernacles, we thought, oh man, Passover is really late this year. It's going to take a long time till we get there. Well, here we are. Okay. I know this won't get to you in time, but you can have it and you can store it away for a future date, but it will help you appreciate and know and understand more about the sacrifice of Christ. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.